It's good to be with you today, having once again this opportunity to spend together this time in God's Word. As Pastor John mentioned, we are continuing with our Lenten sermon series. It's called So That. And it's not just on Sundays, but Wednesdays as well, as we are focusing in on these amazing passages of Scripture, where we're reminded of what God has done, is doing, will do in our lives, and the so that, the results, the transformation, the work that it has in us and through us. And our focus today is on these words that we just heard Austin read. It came at the very end of our reading, Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so with that, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word that continues to speak truth into our lives. Father God, thank you for loving us so much that you would send to us the gift of your Son, our Savior Jesus. Through Jesus, thank you for the hope that we have, not just in the here and the now, but an eternal hope that rests, that trusts in you. And thank you for your gifts of joy and peace that come to us not just in the aftermath of the struggles of our life, but no, it's a joy and peace that comes to us even in the midst of the challenging things. And so thank you, Jesus, for the life that you've given to us and the gift of the Holy Spirit that makes these things possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want you to notice in our reading today from Romans chapter 15, verse 13, that it is hope. Hope is what frames this verse. It begins with the God of hope wanting us to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what do we mean by hope? A very simple, basic definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. Now, that definition is well and good, but I think maybe there is a better definition for hope. One that I'm hoping we're going to come to see through God's word today. I believe hope is better understood as a confident expectation of what God has promised. Hope is a firm belief that God is faithful and will fulfill his promises. Hope that comes from God is a gift that brings joy and peace. Now, I want us to focus on those two words for a moment, joy and peace, which keep in mind, again, in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, hope is what is framing this. But joy and peace, these are gifts from God. Jesus, on the night when he is betrayed, when he is gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and this is just moments before being led away to be arrested and crucified, Jesus has a series of things that he says to his disciples. These things I have spoken to you. Things like, if I, then your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Things like, John 13, verse 34, a new command I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. How about John 14, verse 1? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. This is where Jesus goes on to say, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you, I'm going to go there and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when your room is ready, I'm going to come and get you so that you can be where I am. And Thomas asked the question, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. On that night in the upper room before Jesus is crucified, he says to his disciples things like, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, who we come to know as the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. And how about Jesus' words in John 15:9? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Now, all of these things that Jesus is saying to his disciples on that night when he was betrayed, on that night when he is arrested and led away to be crucified. In John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, and here we have again, so that my what? Jesus says, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Between that frame of hope in Romans 15:13, we have these gifts of joy and peace. And so I want to talk about joy for a moment. Here's the thing about joy. Joy is not the same as happiness and pleasure. It's not. Now, that's not to say that happiness and pleasure are necessarily bad. But the reality of things like happiness and pleasure is it's usually focused on the self. What makes me happy? What brings me pleasure? But joy, and in particular joy that comes from Jesus, is different. C.S. Lewis captures this thought in his book titled The Joyful Christian. Listen for a moment to what he writes. He says, for all images and sensations, if idolatrously mistaken for joy itself, soon honestly confess themselves inadequate. All said, and by all, it includes happiness and pleasure, all said in the last resort, it is not I am only a reminder. Look, look, what do I remind you of? Lewis goes on to say, in his own pursuit of joy and happiness and pleasure and all of these things, I did not yet ask who is the desired, only what it is. Let me say that again. I did not yet ask who is the desired, only what it is. Isn't that true of us in our life? We're often pursuing the what. The earthly things that we think will somehow bring us happiness and pleasure, and even joy. At times, hope and peace. But the reality is this. What truly brings us hope and joy and peace is not a what, it's a who. You see, our joy, our peace, our hope, each has an object. The object of our hope, the object of our joy, the object of our peace is God himself. Not a what, a who. It's why Jesus goes on to say, still in the upper room with his disciples. It's still in the night when Jesus is betrayed. It's still moments before he is led away to be arrested and then led away to be crucified. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, I have said these things to you. Sound familiar? Remember those things we looked at that Jesus said? I've said these things to you, and there's those words again, so that in me you may have what? Peace. So already Jesus has said that he wants us to have his joy in us, but he also wants us to have peace. In the world, Yeah, you will have tribulation. But take heart, Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. We talked a little bit about joy. Now let's talk a little bit about peace. You see, there is a peace that comes from God. Scripture talks about this peace as something that is beyond human understanding. Meaning it is a peace that comes to us not just in the absence of the struggles of our life, but it's a peace that comes to us in the midst of the difficult things that we are dealing with. That we can be dealing with really hard things and at the very same time still be at peace. That is a peace that comes from God. A peace that Paul says in Philippians guards and protects our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But in addition to a peace that comes from God, there is also, as Scripture teaches, a peace with God. And really, that's where peace is meant to begin. And Paul talks about this earlier in Romans. If you have your Bibles, let's go from Romans chapter 15 for a moment back to chapter 5. And listen to what Paul writes. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have, what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in what? Hope. Hope of the glory of God. Not only that, Paul goes on to say, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who God has given to us. Hope, joy, and peace. It's not hoping in what. It's not trying to find joy in what. It's not peace that comes from what. No, it's who. Who. Peace be with you. That's what Jesus says. That's what Jesus offers. That's what Jesus brings into our lives, into our difficult situations. After Jesus goes to the cross, after he suffers for the sins of the world, your sins, my sins, after Jesus breathes his last breath, after Jesus is placed into the tomb, and after Jesus rises again on the third day, he appears to many, he appears to his disciples, and each time he appears, what's the first thing he says? Peace be with you. That is what the cross and the empty tomb bring us, peace with God. And a peace that comes from God, resulting in joy, resulting in hope. Hope for the here and now, and hope for eternity. Listen for a moment to what Jacob Preuss says in his book, Just Words, Understanding the Fullness of the Gospel. He says, the peace that exists between God and us does not depend on our perception or reflection of it. It is real and objective because Christ, our Prince of Peace, has made it real through his suffering on the cross. His death has opened the way for us to mend the fractures that plague our lives. Are there things that are working against us in this world? The answer is yes. And I do not want to make light of those things. I know that the hurts And the pain that we sometimes experience is very real. And it sometimes goes really deep. And some of it is the result of, again, the physical things working against us. It's maybe sickness. But sometimes it's more than that. It's the emotional struggles that we carry. It's the things that cause us to worry and to be anxious. It's the things that make us depressed. I also realize that there are relational struggles that we have. Brokenness affects all things, including relationships, and at times relationships that are very near and dear and important to us. And sometimes even it's the spiritual matters that are suffering. The joy, the hope, and the peace that God wants for us, it is beyond a human understanding that it can come to us even in the midst of our struggles. And the reason is that the hope, the joy, the peace, each has an object. And the object is not a what, but a who. A who that promises to be near to us. At the 8 o'clock service today, we witnessed in this means of grace through water and the word, where God makes that promise to us. He calls us his own. He gives us the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And he makes hope, joy, peace a reality in our lives, because even though the pain and the brokenness is real, I don't want to dismiss that. But what I want us to know today is that what is even more real is the promise of God's presence. To be with you, to be with me. That is the covenant promise that is echoed through the pages of God's word, old and new. It is the promise that Jesus fulfills through his dying and his rising again, and it makes this possible. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Dear friends in Christ, may we know, may we believe, may we trust these words to be true today, that the God of hope has filled us with joy and peace in Christ Jesus. He empowers us through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we might live our lives trusting that we are never alone. That we might trust in the power of God's presence both now and for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to leave you three questions, if you have your journals, questions for us to carry into our week. The first is this: is there anything in your life that is keeping you from God's gifts of hope, joy, and peace? It's important that we are honest about these things, that we acknowledge the things working against us, and then that we bring these things to God. Second, what does it mean to you that God does not want to hurt you or harm you, but instead to give you a future and a hope? Those words come from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, and what we're reminded of, hope, joy, peace, these are not just New Testament things. These are things that God has wanted for us from the very beginning. And third, how has God been faithful to you in the past, allowing you to trust him in the present? It's important that we remember these things and that we give thanks to God for these things. It's an opportunity for us to count the ways. Count the ways that God has been and is faithful and will be faithful to us. To him be praise, glory, and honor.